Welcome everybody to this service.
Thank you.
I'd like to welcome the Reverend Canon Chris Bull, who will be doing our service today. Thank you very much, Chris. And also Robert Walpole, who's because Deborah is ill today, and we think in our hearts for Catherine, who rang me this morning saying she was ill too. So everybody's dropping out. My turn next. Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for your invitation to be here again with you, and especially to be with you on this first Sunday in Advent. And if you follow the church year, well, this is the new year. This is the start of the church year, so it's come very early. It's not in January at all. And the first thing we're going to do as part of our service this morning is to light our Advent wreath. There are four candles that represent the four Sundays. And during Advent, we remember the patriarchs and we remember the prophets. And John the Baptist, and then Mary, and then the middle candle is lit on Christmas Day. So this morning, we're going to light the first candle and remember the part that the patriarchs have in the gospel story. And Evie is going to come and light our candle this morning. Now, how do you do this then? There we go. So let's come and thank you very much for that, Evie. And let's pray now. God of Abraham and Sarah and all the patriarchs of old, you are our Father too. Your love is revealed to us in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of David. Help us in preparing to celebrate his birth, to make our hearts ready for your Holy Spirit to make his home among us. We ask this through Jesus Christ, who is the light coming into the world. Amen. And the other great thing about Advent is we get to sing the great Advent hymns. And we're going to stand this morning and sing our opening hymn, Hark the Glad Sound, the Saviour Comes. Service on page one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Would you please sit or kneel as we pray? And
we pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Some words from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the hearts. Therefore, in the light of Christ, we now confess our sins. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are very sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect for the first Sunday of Advent. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armour of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son Jesus Christ came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated for our readings.
The first reading is taken from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. This is what Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judea and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will steam to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountains of the Lord, to the temple of our God, of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we will walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from Romans chapter 13, beginning to read at verse 11. "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We're going to stand to sing our next hymn, another great Advent hymn, number 410, O come Emmanuel. Please remain standing to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. But about that hour, or day, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief were coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
And as we stand, we pray. We ask now that, Lord, you would open your word to us and open our hearts to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's good to be with you this morning, and as I said, it's good to start a new church year with you this morning, although for many, of course, this is the countdown to Christmas. And I want to start with a bit of a confession. I suspect it's a confession that many of us might make, to being a newsaholic. That is, I feed my habit daily from the internet and from newspapers and from the BBC News. And I think I've been reflecting on the war in Ukraine and just what it is about my desire for the news that makes reporters stand on the front line, because I want to know what's going on. I'm still reflecting on that one. It's a bit of a selfish demand from my part. But I know that many of us are dependent on these reporters and the news for helping us to know and understand what's going on in our world, as well as what's going on closer to home. And the news story, of course, that has dominated much of news over recent months has been that continuing war in Ukraine and its effects, not just for the people of that nation and Ukrainians now living across Europe and the UK, But the rest of the world, because of the unfolding energy crisis. And so consequently, we are now grappling with a difficult economic and fuel supply challenge. We are faced with, in this country, leadership challenges that came out of that. And of course, the economic crisis has brought strikes by train drivers and postal workers and nurses, amongst others. And we live in these uncertain times. The coronavirus this time last year, well, we were experiencing restrictions on what we were able to do on our planned celebrations, and we were about to enter a further lockdown, although we didn't know at the time. And this emerging over this past year has been really difficult. And now we're faced with all these new challenges on top of that. And all our old certainties are being replaced with temporary things, or things that feel a little bit more fragile, and there's anxiety over health and employment and finances, and we can be very fearful of the future, facing what might be an uncertain journey for many years to come. And so as we hold all that together, and as we perhaps contemplate a more challenging Christmas, we can't hide our frustrations and our emotions that these crises are bringing out in us. And so we echo the Old Testament prophets. Who will deliver us? Rishi Sunak? Well, the hope for a political saviour, the one who can lead us through, can loom large at these times. It does seem very Old Testament, where time and time again the nation of Israel, they fell into troubled times. And time and time again, in desperation, they cried out to God for a leader who would deliver them. But ultimately, as we know, all the judges and all the kings that they turned to would all ultimately fail them. And no human leader, our own Prime Minister included, will save us. And we shouldn't expect them to. That would amount to political idolatry, to looking for a saviour in the wrong place. And no matter how good our leaders are, no matter how dedicated our NHS is, no matter how resourceful our scientists are, this winter will be tough, and our present story will continue to dominate our lives well into the new year. And yet, as we look back at the Old Testament story and their crying out for a saviour, in their unfolding story, at one particular moment in history, when they found themselves again oppressed by foreign forces and crying out for a charismatic political leader to save them, a saviour did come. And as we know, the saviour didn't come in the form of a general or a revolutionary, a charismatic political leader with new ideas and clever words. We know, looking back at the story of the first coming of Jesus, that he came as a baby. In Bethlehem's dark streets shone an everlasting light. In a poet, R.S. Thomas, wrote this poem, The Coming, and in it he heralds the coming of Christ into our troubled world, drawn into the very heart of humanity. He wrote this: "And God held in his hands a small globe. Look, he said, and the sun looked. And far off as through water, he saw a scorched land of fierce colour. The light burned there. Crusted buildings cast their shadows. A bright serpent, a river coiled itself, radiant with slime. And on a bare hill, a bare tree saddened the sky. Many people held out their thin arms to it, as though waiting for a vanished April to return to the crossed boughs. The sun watched them. Let me go there, he said." And that child, that baby, grew up to be the only man ever to walk this earth who could sustain the hopes and the fears of those who walk this earth, even those of our year, 2022. He can never leave us disappointed. There is a light in our darkness now. Though we misplace our trust and misdirect our cries, the truth remains 2,000 years later. We need a king like Jesus. And in the biblical story, especially in our readings from Isaiah that we will reflect on through Lent, on a people waiting for a Messiah, an anointed conquering king who will save them from their oppression and despair. And themes of darkness and light, of night and a new dawn, provide images for a dramatic change to come. In Christian theology, Advent reflects the idea that God is coming into our midst, that a divine child is arriving who will restore creation and set things right, who will heal our broken relationships with God, our broken relationships with each other and with our world. He will transform everything with his justice and his peace. However, as you know, things are not quite there yet. The world is still mired in darkness and despair. There is a film, you've probably seen it, The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. There is, in the film, there is one of the most profound and deeply Christian lines that I have ever heard in a film. Sonny is the hotel manager, and he says this: "Everything will be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, it's not the end." Everything is not all right. So it is not yet the end, but God holds us in this moment. So what do we do in this moment as we cry? Who will deliver us? Is there anything that we can do? And I would encourage us to reconnect with Advent, this sacred time of expectation and anticipation and hope, spread over these next 4 weeks and these 4 Sundays before Christmas, that take us slowly and carefully through the biblical story of how we got into this mess in the first place, and how God's plan is to come and join us in it and raise us up from it. Advent is the time when Scripture calls us to take stock of ourselves, to decide how ready we are for the coming of Christ. And perhaps this year, maybe more than any other year, we need to dust off our Bibles and connect afresh with and savour the readings of Advent and Christmas, because in them we will discover afresh a confidence and a reassurance that in the midst of all of this crisis, there is hope and a future. There is a new beginning, because there is a Saviour, and that fear and death themselves will flee before his face. Our reading from Romans reminds us the hour has already come for us to wake up from our slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light, clothing ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Advent doesn't get the same press as Lent. You know, Lent is the penitential season. We don't do much. You know, mince pies are the season here. But I want to encourage you to engage in a holy Advent. I'd like to challenge you to use these 4 weeks wisely, to engage with the themes and readings of both Advent and Christmas. 4 Sundays, 4 sets of themes and readings, 4 candles to be lit on the Advent ring. There are these fantastic themes of hope and justice and peace and faith and love. And there is a Saviour to be received afresh into our lives. It is a time to listen to the prophets who will tell us just how far we have strayed from God's plan for us. And there is time for sincere and prayerful change in our lives. Within the economic downturn and strike stories, there has been a lot in the news about saving Christmas and the challenges facing the hospitality industry and the retail industry, uncertainties about life. I wonder whether we might determine to save Christmas, and we might save Christmas by keeping a holy Advent, and in doing so bring hope and a future into our frustrations, into our fears and angers and disappointments, and to bring a hope and a future into the frustrations, fears, angers and disappointments of those who live around us, through the promise of a Saviour who has come, who does come, and who will come. We sang the Advent carol, O come Emmanuel. And the third verse is especially relevant to the present time and our cry for a Saviour. And so I'm going to make it my closing prayer. Let's pray. O come, thou dayspring from on high, and cheer us by thy drawing nigh. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadow put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, God with us, shall come to thee. And so we wait, and so we pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Pray.
Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of your holy presence in our church, we thank you for hearing our prayers at this time of Advent and new beginnings. Firstly, a prayer for our interregnum. Gracious God, you are with us always. We thank you for guiding us by your Holy Spirit through our life together as a church. We pray that we may hear your voice during this time of interregnum. Grant us patience, grant us vision, and grant us courage as we seek a new priest for our two churches. And by your grace, lead us to be a more Christ-like church, a church which is thoughtful, compassionate, and courageous. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for King Charles, that the Holy Spirit will be with him as he establishes his reign as head of state and as a world leader. We pray that his faith will inspire the nation and our world in the ways of mutual respect amongst its peoples and saving God's wonderful creation for the world's future generations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for readiness in Advent. Help us to have faith and deliver us and others from unbelief. Let us be ready for Christ and behave as in his light and not in the darkness, just as our scripture readings of this morning. Help us to be active Christians in our own communities and always to do the right thing by Jesus. Help us to bring Christian meaning and purpose to the lives of those who have lost their way. Help us to be kind to one another and to encourage newcomers to come and discover Jesus in our church at St. Margaret's. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for leaders, especially our own. We pray for our world leaders at this dangerous time, that they will use their power for good and not for evil, and will collaborate in finding solutions to war, poverty, disease, and climate extremes. Help us with peace and reconciliation in our world, and for love to overcome mistrust and conflict. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear.
A prayer for others known to us. We pray for those carrying heavy burdens who are unwell or in recovery. We pray for those who are precious to us, especially those who are experiencing the difficulties of anxiety and loneliness or bereavement. Help us to reassure them that your love is always with them. Make us generous with our responses to their difficulties, especially for the impending hardships of winter. We pray for those listed on our notice sheet. Jean Stables, John Watts, now in the Heights Nursing Home, Downley, and for his wife Angela, recovering from her knee operation. For Paul and Jean Ricketts' daughter-in-law, Amanda, undergoing chemotherapy. For Caden Edwards, who is undergoing proton beam therapy. For David Ellingham, in Hammersmith Hospital, for heart surgery. And for dearest Pamela and the family. We also pray for our ministry team during this time of interregnum. In a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for all the blessings we enjoy in your beautiful creation. Inspire us to share our many blessings with others, so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And so we stand to declare our faith together.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In the tender mercy of our God, the dayspring from on high shall break upon us to give light to those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please offer one another a sign of peace. And we're going to sing our next hymn, number 620, Ye Servants of God. Do you know how many are in here? 40. And you think there are 56? Okay.
Yeah.
going to use the prayer that's on page 10 of your service books, Eucharistic Prayer 3. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
You are worthy of our thanks and praise, Lord God of truth. For by the breath of your mouth you have spoken your word, and all things have come into being. You fashioned us in your image, and placed us in the garden of your delights. Though we chose the path of rebellion, you would not abandon your own. Again and again you drew us into your covenant of grace. You gave your people the law, and taught us by your prophets to look for your reign of justice, mercy, and peace. As we watch for the signs of your kingdom on earth, we echo the song of the angels in heaven, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Lord God, you are the most holy one, enthroned in splendour and light. Yet in the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, you reveal the power of your love, made perfect in our human weakness. Embracing our humanity, Jesus showed us the way of salvation. Loving us to the end, he gave himself to death for us. Dying for his own, he set us free from the bonds of sin, that we might rise and reign with him in glory. On the night he gave up himself for us all, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Therefore, we proclaim the death that he suffered on the cross. We celebrate his resurrection, his bursting from the tomb. We rejoice that he reigns at your right hand on high, and we long for his coming in glory. As we recall the one perfect sacrifice of our redemption, Father, by your Holy Spirit, let these gifts of your creation be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form us into the likeness of Christ and make us a perfect offering in your sight. Look with favour on your people and in your mercy hear the cry of our hearts. Bless the earth, heal the sick, let the oppressed go free and fill your church with power from on high. Gather your people from the ends of the earth to feast with all your saints at the table in your kingdom, where the new creation is brought to perfection in Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. We sit or kneel and pray as our Saviour taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. And so draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. The body of Christ broken for you. 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 And your name is? Sorry? Beth, may the Lord Jesus bless you. May he fill you afresh with his peace, his joy, and his love. And your name is? Neve. Neve, may the Lord Jesus bless you. May he fill you afresh with his peace, his joy, and his love. Amen. The body of Christ broken for you. And who's this young man? Oliver, may the Lord Jesus bless you. May he fill you afresh with his peace, his joy, and his love. Amen. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. You? The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. And who's this young man? Rowan? Rowan, may the Lord Jesus bless you. May he fill you afresh with his peace, his joy, and his love. Amen. O Lord our God, make us watchful and keep us faithful as we await the coming of your Son, our Lord, that when he shall appear, he may not find us sleeping in sin, but active in his service and joyful in his praise, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray together, Father of all, we give you thanks and praise, that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, it's lovely to hear very enthusiastic praying from the back row there. I hope to hear enthusiastic singing as we stand to sing our closing hymn. Forth in thy name, O Lord, I go. closing prayer and blessing. Now may Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you, scatter the darkness from before your path, and make you ready to meet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and all those you love and pray for, now and always. Amen. Amen. As we await our coming Saviour, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.